Hey, thanks for joining us on the C3 Oxford Falls podcast. If you'd like more information on C3 Church, please visit myc3church.net. We hope you enjoy this message.
I got to let you know, I am so thrilled to let you know Pilgrims, our newest C3 music album, is almost here. The songs on this album are for our journey in Jesus. No matter where we are on that journey, in the valley or on the mountaintop, His love is unchanging, and so should our praise and worship be. Cannot wait for you to hear it. You can pre-order from Sunday the 25th of February and album purchase from Sunday the 11th of March. Head to iTunes or Google Play. Hey everyone, our annual Presence Conference, wow, it's drawing so close. It's upon us already. John Gray, Jensen Franklin, Erwin Raphael McManus, Martin Smith, Levi and Nadia Mary Church will be joining Chris and I at the Sydney International Convention Centre, the ICC, 24th to the 27th of April. We've called it Freedom is Here, believing that this and knowing that this is going to be a really wonderful time of people discovering their freedom in Christ. With 24 masterclasses, Presence Youth and Presence Kids, make sure you jump on presenceconference.com to see the full family conference we've prepared for you this coming April. Can't wait to see you there. So what I want to talk about is the local church. I believe that's possibly one of the greatest things that heaven has ever invented and brought to earth. But certainly in this hour, it is God's answer for the world. The church is the place where God is actually assigned to bring Jesus into this world and to bring salvation to anybody and everybody who would reach out to Him to have that salvation come to them. The fact is, ever since Chris and I walked into a church, we have loved church. And over the years, believe it or not, we've had reasons now and then to not love the church. And as you have too, and it's more than likely that will not be the end of it. You'll have other experiences that can disenchant you or just take the shine off. But I find that if I just stay in there and keep walking and keep turning up, that my love for the church stays alive and the health of God stays in my life, because I'm forced to deal with matters that maybe I didn't want to deal with. And instead of avoiding them, I'm able to grow up and mature and maximize my potential. You know, when we started this church, I thought just to start one church with 500 people would be a massive goal. And so that was what we tried to do. Within the first year, however, we were already starting other churches around the city. And in the first year, we started two more churches in one year. We thought that was pretty good. And then we felt God guiding us to plant other churches. And so we planted 10 in a year. And we thought, wow, that is like mind-blowing. It actually took us, was up to about the fourth year that we had planted 10 churches. And we thought, wow, we're really, really changing history here. We're changing the planet. But obviously we weren't. And God told us to do a whole lot more. He said, look, I want you to plant these 100 churches around the world. And we thought, 100 churches? But actually we started to do it until we got to a point where we had planted 50 churches in a year. When I would tell other pastors that we had planted 50 churches in a year, they looked at me with a big sign of disbelief and said, are you preaching or telling the truth? And I said, no, man, I'm telling the truth, all right. This is for real. We planted, one, and that adds up to one church a week. And that's kind of mind-blowing. And then we found ourselves in an ensuing year planting 100 churches in one year. And that kept on happening for a number of years, where we were planning two churches on average a week. And I was mind blown by that. I thought, how is this happening? This is just crazy. Because we were graduating Bible college students out of our C3 college, which you can still sign up and go to from any of our locations, especially the Silverwater campus, because we're starting afresh out there in a couple of weeks. And the point was, is that God was wanting to expand His kingdom, and He'd put it in, obviously, in our genetic code as a church, that we would keep enlarging and planting new churches. Well, 3 weeks ago, I was in the USA and Mark Kelsey told me we had just passed the 500 mark in our whole movement. And I thought, wow, that is amazing. I thought we're at a whole new level here. And 500, I mean, we are hovering around 300, 370 for quite a while. And then boom, suddenly we're past 500. Well, by the end of that week, we learned that we had started another three churches. So we're 503. And I thought, well, that's pretty good. But by the end of the next week, I learned that we'd started another 22 churches in Pakistan and then another couple churches as well. So we were at 530 within like 2 weeks of learning of that new number. Now, you got to understand, that is an entirely new level. That is 15 churches a week. That's 2 churches a day. That's a new level, people. God has taken us on a journey here right now, and you're a part of that. And that is because that's His heartbeat. That's His heartbeat to develop communities all over the world that exceed and excel every other community on the planet as a place of health, a place of fellowship, a place of connection, a place of worship, a place of power where miracles happen. So never underestimate the power of the church. The church is the hope of the world. The church is where God lives on earth. The church is where God transforms people. The church is where the blessing of God rests. The church is God's plan to make disciples. The church is where the devil is defeated. The church united can achieve the impossible, people. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm preaching the church this morning because that's God's answer for the world. One thing that Jesus said He would build was the church. He didn't say He'd build anything else. He said, I will build my church. And that's a community of people, the most beautiful people in the world. And you're sitting next to one right now here this morning. And together we can achieve immense things that we think are impossible. The reason we are starting at this stage, and this might be just a short season, you know, I'm not going to say that we'll be able to sustain that, but we might even exceed that, 2 churches a day. The reason that is happening is because of you. That started right here in the core of this congregation. And now we are spreading right around the city to all of these other locations. It's happening because of you, because of what you are giving, because of your investment, because you keep turning up, because of your prayers, because of your commitment, and because of your unity. And the place of unity is the place of power. The place of agreement is the place of authority. And when we get together and agree and believe together, we have an immense power backing us up called the power of all heaven on earth in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah 60 verse 1 is the beginning of a passage that God has guided us and counseled myself and our team over the years, right since we began. In fact, there are several scriptures. I'm going to bring you four of those, hopefully this morning, and talk through them about what the heartbeat of God is for us at C3 Church Sydney, around the city and around the world, that as we keep moving forward, God keeps putting new threads in the fabric of our culture. A few years ago, He added community. He added kingdom. And these are concepts that we would bring, and I brought to our main conference in Sydney here, Presence Conference, in just a few weeks' time. You've got to be there because the page turns at a conference like that. You don't want to be in chapter 2 when He's up to chapter 9. You don't want to be in what He was doing when He's added all these new threads and new pages to what we're doing and typing in upgrades to our operating system. And constantly God is taking us further on and growing us up into all kinds of new things that He wants us to be involved in. And these passages will take us and teach us exactly how God is trying to guide us. So verse 1 of Isaiah 60 says, "Arise, shine." Can everybody say that for me, please? I want you to say it joyfully. Amen. Arise, shine. There's a reason, and it's in verse 2, but I'll get to that. So we're a resurrection church, okay? We hover around the resurrection. It's good to go to the cross, but you stay there for too long, you're just going to get quite glum about everything. Good Friday is good. But Resurrection Sunday's even better. Amen. You might be in Friday right now, but you're not going to stay there because God's got a resurrection coming for you. No matter what situation you're facing, you're going to find that in this atmosphere is resurrection and victory. So you're going to beat that thing. You're going to overcome that addiction. You're going to make it through this financial difficulty. The relationships that are struggling now, you're going to get to the other side. And so we are that church that arises and shines. When the sun shines, things grow. People go on holidays to Hawaii, not Greenland, because the sun is shining. People are attracted to light. They're not attracted to the dark. We would be attempting to be positive and not just negative, although that doesn't mean we're in denial or we're avoiding difficult issues. We fully face them, but with an attitude, we can win in Jesus' name. And it says, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. You have the glory of God on you. Whether you feel it or not or see it or not, when I look at you every weekend, I see the glory of God. I see some of you whose lives are, you understand, and you agree with me. It was a mess. You were a mess. Some of you here, you know, you were defeated, you were sick, you were ugly. You know, now look at you, amen. Beautiful, strong, healthy, got your act together, got some guidance going on. Amen. Alex, you're just a living testimony. Thank you, Jesus. Love the little brush away of the hair, you know, on the head. Why does God want us to arise? Okay, put the scripture up. Because it says for, behold. Well, you could put because that's what the word for is saying. Darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise on you and the glory shall be seen on you. Okay, so there is darkness on the earth and there is no doubt about that. That, we, you know, sadly, tragically, we're seeing the last of some tigers. We've been alive when we've seen the extinction of some animals. The oceans get polluted. I'm concerned about that. I'm a bit of a greenie. I hug trees and talk to them and things like that, but not too much. And not when anybody's looking, except those drones. But you know, more than saving whales, and I think we should be concerned about the earth, and darkness has covered the earth, but deep darkness, the people. I'm more concerned about people. I'm more concerned about people who are struggling to stay alive when they've got suicidal thoughts. I'm more concerned about people whose marriages and relationships are fragmenting under pressure. And you and I need to arise and shine because of this darkness that's in people's lives so that we show them light, that there is a way through. There is a victory. There is a triumph that Jesus has given us and we can bring that to them. So the kind of church you're in is a bright church, a positive church that's going to bring life and light to the world around it. Verse 4 says, lift up your eyes all around and see, they all gather together, they come to you. Your sons will come from afar and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. So this is talking about you and I getting a change of perspective, lifting up our eyes and seeing people in different lights, not in judgmental eyes, and lifting up our eyes off ourselves. If we have to lift them up, it means they're cast down. And very often the human condition is to become preoccupied with ourselves and our own lives, even as Christians, that we can become very consumeristic, thinking, God bless me, God, I need this. But he's saying, lift up your eyes, look over the wall of your own life, look over the wall of the church. There are hurting people all around us. And if we could forget about ourselves for a second and reach out to them and care for them, and not just put money in our own pocket, but put money in theirs, reach out and help them in all kinds of ways, you will find that you are being exactly the kind of people that God has called you to be. He says, I want you to lift up your eyes and with faith, I want you to see these people coming. I want you to see them coming all around you. The very next verse says, then you will see. So when you lift up your eyes and you, in your business, if you're a business person, if you own a restaurant, see the restaurant full. If you're a car salesman, see the car yard empty. See them all sold. If you're a real estate person, if you're an insurance broker, if you're a plumber, if you're a high school teacher, don't see the classes too full, amen. Just full enough to keep it, you know, at the right ratios, amen. You might be a hairdresser, like Pam O'Flaherty, the chairman of the board, amen. Yes, ma'am. Just a little advertising for you, shameless, aren't we? And there you go. And then it says, welcome all these people. They're coming from everywhere. If I know the voice of God, I know very clearly he spoke to me at the start of this year saying another thread I'm putting into your church, into this church, is that you will become a way more multinational than you are right now. He said to me, I have sent many of these people. They think they've emigrated or that they are refugees or that they are people who are just visiting, but I've actually sent them to this land to discover Jesus. And that's your mission field, to reach out and touch these people. And I don't want 1 ounce of prejudice or any kind of an unwelcoming vibe or feeling amongst us. Anybody from anywhere, at any age, from any condition is welcome in the house of God. Come and eat, come and feast, whoever, whosoever will may come. I want our arms to be as wide as they possibly can to receive anybody. God bless you out there at Silverwater. I thank you for having me out there. I'm about one of four white Australians in that congregation when I come out. And the other two are Hartley and Natalie. But you guys are amazing in that congregation. And we as a church are going to be multicultural, multiracial, multi-ethnic background, multinational. All over the world, we're going to see such a diverse and rich, colorful representation of the kingdom of God as we move into the future in Jesus' name. The second passage that I want to relate to you is in Matthew 16 and verse 18. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. This is what I want you to understand. The church is built on people, not systems. It says, you're Peter, and on this I'm going to build my church. God is building his church on you. You have a place in the house. You have a place in the body, whether it's a finger or a toe or a kidney or a hidden part like a liver, or whether part of the eyes or the ears or the mouth. The body of Christ has many members, and you are one of them. We want you to be an active member. We want you to be an engaged, connected member, not just somebody who attends church, but is the church. That you are not just a member, but you are a part of the active, ongoing servanthood of the house of God. The discovery of that serving nature is one of the greatest moments of your life, because it's in serving that you discover your destiny. And we would like our entire congregation to know, each person would know their role in what they are called to do as part of the house of God. The deepest meaningfulness you will discover is in being a serving person in the house of God. Don't be thinking of trying to be a leader or a ruler. Just think, how can I help? Let me help around here, and I will, Jesus says, I will build my church on the person who turns up and serves in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead, give the Lord a clap offering. Isaiah 54 verse 1 is the third passage that I'm going to share with you. Sing, O barren. So we're a worshiping, singing church. If you don't like singing, don't come here, because we will be singing a lot. We worship. We love making worship songs to God. Every year we produce another album, sometimes two. And over the years, there's been literally scores of albums that we have released, and all those songs that you were singing this morning, many of them were off our brand new album coming out in 2 weeks called Pilgrims. We are worshipers, but we're not just worshipers, we are faith worshipers. This says, sing, O barren. A barren woman didn't have anything to sing about, but the prophet says, sing anyway. Start singing today like you've got what you're hoping for tomorrow. Start to sing in faith, start to believe, start to thank God for a future that hasn't yet manifested. That doesn't even look like it could. That looks impossible. But switch your faith on and believe that God is the God of the impossible, and that he can do anything when you start to walk in faith and you start to believe God in Jesus' name. And then the next part of that passage is about people coming to Christ. So he's saying, sing, O barren. For us in the church, that's when our altar calls are empty, when nobody is turning to the Lord. Happily, every week we see in our church services all around the city, many, many people coming to Christ. But even in some services, it isn't happening. And in some areas of the church, it isn't happening. We need to sing, O barren. And if I can say it delicately, worship opens the womb of the church so that she is able to conceive and bring forth children, newborn babies into the kingdom of God, to bring people out of darkness into light, to bring people out of the grip of devil into the grip of God, to bring people out of sickness into health, to bring people from the dark to the light in one foul swoop. called salvation in Jesus' name. And that's why we are here. We do not exist for our members. We exist for the people who are not yet here. We exist for people over the wall out there. You and I are in this place, and not just in this place, we're in all these locations around Sydney and around the world to reach people beyond our walls. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. We are the married woman. More are the children. And as long as that is the case, God will be sending out his message, his gospel, to the ends of the earth. And if he doesn't use us, he will find somebody that he can. And I'm saying to you and I, let's really make sure that we're available. Then it goes to the next part, verse 2 of this passage. Enlarge the place of your tent. We're always going to be getting bigger, people. And that will stretch us sometimes. Our giving, our commitment, all of these things will be enlarging us. But you will become larger in the process. You'll become a bigger person. And if you could measure yourself next year as to how you are this time this year, you'll find you've grown and that you've matured. You're taller, you're more patient, you're stronger, you're more committed. And we will enlarge the church with enlarged people. Then it says, and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. This is a favorite scripture of mine. Let them. We are a permission-giving church. We are an empowering church. We want to empower all of our people to become people who stretch out and enlarge the church. We had 1 year I announced that we'd had 1,600. This is a long time ago. 1,600 people come to Christ. Somebody came to me afterwards and said, man, that's a lot of people. Where are they? And I said, you're asking the wrong person. I should be asking you, where are they? Because you're thinking that in the church, you've got these offices up there and admin and systems and phone callers and pastors. Shouldn't they be making sure all this happens? No, it's the entire body being activated so that in our connect groups, you are enabled and equipped and empowered to actually establish people in the kingdom of God through connection and relationships. And after every service, we are starting a new part in our whole church culture. After every service over a weekend, we will be holding next step classes so that over a 4-week period, we are training people who are putting up their hands saying, I want to be a connect group leader. I want to serve on the team somewhere. And we will train you in the whole area of being a leader, of being a person who's serving in the house, getting to understand the ways of God and the ways of the house so that you can get into that as quickly as possible. Look, if you've only been coming here for 2 weeks, sign up for one of those things. I always find the new people are the most excited about church. And it is an awesome thing if you can say, yeah, I want to be part of that great army that is going to build the house of God and go to this next level in Jesus' name. Then it says, do not spare. We are a generous church. Every part of our church depends on the generosity of God's people. Many of our people give way more than the tithe. Tithing is basic Christianity. But people who are vision builders, people who are involved in saying, we can put up buildings like this. We can put, and this genetic code has gone into so many of our churches. Jürgen Matesius in San Diego, his congregation is now around 7,500 people, and he's just buying his fourth campus. And he says that he learned the art of generosity from you people here when he was youth leader here for, I think, 8 years. Then he learned and got a hold of that genetic code, and it has spread. And now it's spreading through all those churches in America and around the world that have been planted. When you discover generosity, you discover joy. You discover power in life. You discover freedom. You're no longer bound by the fear of losing. You're buoyed up by the joy of giving. And so being a generous church, lengthening your cords. So we want relationships that are not emotionally expensive. We want relationships that are low maintenance, that people don't feel fragile and insecure and ringing up all the time. Are we okay? Are you good? Are you good? But we are strong and robust. I've got some of my best friends who live in England and live in America. We don't talk but 3 times a year. And we just pick up where we left off. Hi, how you doing? Good, good. We don't have to go through, oh, are you all right? You know, you still good? Any of that? No, we are a strong, robust, relational church where we connect, we're good. Amen. We're committed to being having the best of relationship attitudes, the best of excellent spiritedness towards one another. So when we have that, we can lengthen our cords. We can put up with a lot. We can take a long time to forbear with anybody and their idiotness and whatever it is. We've got the time. We've got the patience. We have long cords. And the last one, strengthen your stakes. This means we're going deeper into our commitment to build the house of God, that we're going to hold on and make sure that we are there for the church, for the vision, and for God in Jesus' name. I want us all to stand up right now and let me pray for you. And I'm going to believe God to touch your life as you make that commitment. As you hear the heartbeat that we've shared this morning, I'm praying that you would say, I want to buy in. I want to be part of it. Can I ask you to close your eyes? If you're comfortable lifting your hands, go ahead. Father, I pray that you will touch every one of our congregation members all around the city here this morning. Lord Jesus, let them feel the heartbeat of God for his local church. His heartbeat and his power coming into our lives to make this the gate of heaven, the house of God, so that people will come and say, how awesome is this place in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, let your grace, mercy, blessing and life fall on us today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless your locations. We'll see you next time. Amen. Hey everyone, what a joy it is to bring the Word of God to so many people all around the world every week. And I just love technology for that reason, that we're able to broadcast through television, through podcasts, through social media, and to bring Jesus into people's worlds in all kinds of ways. Obviously, there are costs to that. There are expenses in reaching out and accomplishing this preaching of the gospel. And in the book of Romans, Paul says, how shall I go unless somebody send them? And he's talking about the beautifulness of the preaching of the gospel, how it brings peace and joy into people's worlds. And so the people who are sending us into other people's worlds is you and the people of our congregations. And I'd love you to join with them and with us as partners, sending the gospel throughout all the world through all these means that God has put in our hands. And as we partner together, I know that there will be thousands of people in heaven for eternity because of our efforts together. God has called us to do this, and we depend on people to send us and support us in taking the gospel to the world. I want to say thank you for standing with us and believing God. I'm praying and asking God to touch you and to bless your seed that you sow so that you'll experience an incredible harvest in your lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey guys, thanks for listening to this week's message from our church. Hope you'll stay connected by following us online. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram by using @C3 Oxford Falls.